I've been proving that I'm a problem to everybody in that locker room.
When you step in this ring, you'll be stepping in the ring with that.
I'm gonna do some real cowboys.
You're listening to the Midwest Marks Podcast.
Welcome one and welcome all to the Midwest Marks Podcast. I am your host, Eli Guidy. What a wonderful week in wrestling. Well, we have some bad news, but you know, we also have some pretty great news. Things are really looking good right now. We have started our journey as far as being a podcast and, you know, reviewing wrestling shows. It's looking really good, and it's all thanks to the amazing team I have, that including the Midwest Markout champion, the stats man, Alex Coquito.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whenever you hear this. This is the Midwest Markout champion! Let's talk about our favorite topics, Dark and Elevation.
That's right, we're going to be reviewing both shows as well as talking about some news. And you know who talks about that wrestling news and has the wrestling tea, the tea spiller, B-Mac is here.
Hey y'all, what's going on? Listen, like, it's been like a wild weekend in wrestling as far as the free agent news that's going on. And I definitely got the tea on that, and I can't wait to spill it for y'all.
All right, we've got some news ourselves. We will spill that a little later in the show if you haven't heard already. But let's go ahead. And, well, I watched Raw a little bit. Saw some bits and pieces. Yikes. Well, the Hurt Business are probably going to get killed next week if you saw a little bit of that. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into some wrestling news. All right. Well, the biggest news to come out of this past weekend was that Mustafa Ali has requested his release from WWE. Chicago native Mustafa Ali, former police officer, someone who I really wanted to succeed in WWE, and I thought, you know, for a time he was with it, but unfortunately had a string of unfortunate events. Got injured, got his story pulled, got turned into some freaking weird computer guy, and then got fed to Retribution. So, yeah, Mustafa Ali, he is done with WWE. He wants to be released, and I think they're going to grant him it. They are saying that they have budget cuts, and, you know, if he wants to leave, I think he will be released, but it won't be till maybe after Mania, maybe a little bit before Mania. What is your thoughts, T-Spiller?
I say this is a waste of a signing to begin with, because he could have been a star anywhere else had he been with a different company. And the fact that he was in main roster as long as he's been on main roster, and they didn't do nothing meaningful with him but put him in a Batman Gotham reject group known as Retribution. Listen, y'all had this man steal Bane's idea and didn't even pay Bane for it. Listen, like, y'all could have at least cut Bane a check, all right? So this was a waste of time of him being on main roster, and the fact that he's asking for his release is a problem, because he could have been a star for them, given the demographic that he could have brought in as far as him being like Muslim. Listen, that's a whole different side of wrestling fandom that they could have really tapped into, and they squandered it. And if I'm Tony Khan, I know I'm saying I'm not going to sign too many more people, but I would definitely be one of the ones that's trying to sign him, because they have a big, like, Muslim fan base who would love to see them put him on Dynamite Weekly, talking and building him up as a star like he needs to be. So Tony Khan, sign this man and don't even think about it.
I'm usually the one being like, yep, AEW straight away. I think with Mustafa Ali, he has been damaged to the point where he needs to reinvent himself. He needs to, because he had gimmicks and storylines, creative for WWE, that got pushed away. There was like a New America gimmick that the video that got leaked, it looked great. Mustafa Ali has acting chops. He has the ferocity in the ring. He has all the tools, but much like, well, So I know how you guys feel about Karrion Kross. Much like him, someone who had like everything that you would think that needs to succeed in WWE, they squandered it. Like you said, B-Mac, they squandered it. And now he has been put with so many bad gimmicks, so much bad storylines, so much bad, you know, taste in people's mouths as far as the wrestling fans. I think he's going to have to just work the indies, become like, you know, the top guy in the indies, really get to that Prince Ali on the indies like he was before, to say, hey, I don't need WWE. I can make success. I can have banger matches. I can reinstate myself and then become the guy that everybody wants. And we'll see where he goes from there. He can go anywhere. He's that damn talented. Let's hear from the stats man, Alex Coquito.
I actually agree in the sense that, if you look at the timeline now, if they release him tomorrow, he would be 90 days after that. So that'll be around April going to May. We won't even see that. March is the WrestleMania for us. So that just skips the whole storyline of things. So, but okay, let's say he goes to AEW. That's great. Chicago fan base will love him. Muslim fan base will love him. Hope, exactly. But once again, you add one, you take off one. Who's going to get lost in the shuffle in the AEW thing that we already have? And that's the problem. Men, female, tag, whatever. It's happening. It is happening. And I don't like that. But it's we have to adapt or we fall. I actually, again, agree with Eli. Just go to the indies. Go to the indies. MLW is opening up right now, and they're doing a lot of crazy things. So have fun over there.
I was going to say, we also got to keep in mind that AEW, they're going to be having some cuts of their own soon, because they will be trimming the roster down soon, because Tony Khan has made it clear he didn't want to fire nobody during the pandemic. Well, if what we're seeing with Peter Avalon possibly getting bumped down to like a paper, like appearance type of deal, there's going to be some more talents getting that same treatment also, like the Serpentico's, like the Marco Stunts, and some of the other talents that rarely get used. Like, there's going to be like some lot of contracts coming up that will not be renewed for AEW, and that's going to give them room to bring in some talents like Athena, Tony Storm, and Keith Lee when it's time to bring them in. But we got to keep in mind, they will be signing these talents, because those are free agents that you just don't let pass up.
That's right, and we'll keep an eye on that. Well, I know that the Tea Spiller will keep an eye on that for us, so be looking out for future episodes of the BMAC Report. All right, speaking of contracts ending, Cody Rhodes is currently working without a contract. He's a free agent right now. And a lot of people with the Royal Rumble and AEW talks, we know we talked about this a little bit with talking with WWE. A lot of people are seeing this as a sign, a big red flag, that we could possibly see some AEW talent show up at the Royal Rumble. But we've got the Tea Spiller here to put some of these speculations, this collab speculations, to bed. Go ahead, Tea Spiller.
Listen, Tony Khan has already made it clear that he has no interest in putting his talents in that Royal Rumble, which will basically do nothing for them, because if they win the Royal Rumble, they're going to get buried when they get their first major championship match. So why would you put yourself through that? You don't need another impact going on. Look at what they did to Deanna with the whole, like, a Mickey James disaster, which is exactly what that was, which it was a disaster. Having somebody who's not even signed a young company beat your top female star in Deanna, a disaster. I don't want that for Tony Khan, and Tony Khan should not want that for his talent either, because if I was one of those talents getting buried after that Rumble, Listen, let me out of my contract tomorrow so I can go elsewhere, because you fucked me over and I don't want to be with this company anymore. That would be my response. So, but I also got some tea on that Cody Rhodes situation. Cody Rhodes was on a conference call today. He was on a conference call today, being his usual self, totally working the fans over with this situation. So you're going to see him re-signing at some point. But yes, right now he is without a contract with AEW. And he is going to be on Dynamite tomorrow night. And he may well could address it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I saw that he put out like a cryptic message saying that, you know, he's know your self-worth. But like I said, once more, just for fun, Alex, what do you think the pop or the, you know, would it be worth it for AEW talent to show up at the Royal Rumble? I mean, that is a match where, you know, they're going to book their WWE person to win. Everybody knows that already. Unless they really went for a swerve and gave it to an AEW talent, which is probably not in the realm of possibility. But I still think that if they were to collab, it would be Survivor Series or the Royal Rumble, because you don't really get buried for losing the Royal Rumble. There's only one winner. You don't get buried. Unless you're like Santino Marella and get knocked out like as soon as you get in. But I don't think AEW would do that. But Alex, what is your thoughts on this?
I was waiting for you to finish the Cinderella story just to bring you back to reality. Now, unless some AEW stars are released, like, I don't know who, at the moment right now, they're not released. And I don't think Tony Khan's going to do a 90-day clause like the other company. So we're fine on that. Fine. Whatever. On the women's and male side, it would be a cool pop. But then that would acknowledge that AEW is a company, and the big company at this point doesn't want to acknowledge that AEW is a company. They haven't, not once. So why would they do it in the most biggest of stages that no matter what, everyone around the world is going to watch the Royal Rumble, whether you like it or not? Nah, they're not going to do that crap. And to address the Cody thing, why did people think, oh, I have the TNT championship, my contract's out, I'm going to the Royal Rumble? No. Which is, by the way, can we talk about that real quick? Just 10 seconds. Why is Cody popping out on Wednesday but not defending his belt, yet Sammy is, and he's only in the interim belt champion? I'm getting really angry at that. But you know what? Tattooing the guy's neck, not really good ideas.
I'm pretty sure Cody is aware of his contract. I'm pretty sure there might have been some purposely done booking for that. So we'll keep an eye on that. I'll say this. We saw Vince McMahon after some years bring in Eric Bischoff. And that we never thought that partnership could come through fruition after the bad blood and everything. We do have to move on. We've got AEW wrestler Eddie Kingston. He will be unable to compete for several weeks. I think he injured his orbital bone. Yes, he will be out for some time. So the storyline with Daniel Garcia and Chris Jericho, that is going to be reworked or repurposed. We'll find out a little bit more of that in the show. Alex Coquito, your thoughts.
Now, for orbital bones, that's between 3 to 4 months, depending on surgery and everything else in your body. So I hope he gets well soon. That is a... Naomi had the same thing, if we remember. She was gone for 3 months. And she was kneed by that one woman that I... Wow. You're so nobody, I don't remember your name. I remember Naomi's, but not yours. But I'm sorry, I'm digressing. Now, this is going to be sad, but this in a happy thing. Eddie Kingston on Twitter announced that he's going to quit smoking because he wants to become a champion one day. And I applaud him for that. In the group chat, we had a very heated discussion about should he deserve the championship, yes or no. And we ultimately got to the point that it doesn't really matter what you look like. It just matters what you bring to the table. Obviously, no matter what. Eddie Kingston, and realistically, and it's hard to give up addiction of cigarettes, and he's been smoking since 15 years old. He said it himself. He wants to quit. He wants to get better. So if he wants to be the champion and give it a year of clean yourself off and actually get a better regimen, better health style. I'm not saying get all keto guido crap. No, I'm just saying just be better, you know, do better. That's all. Don't quit the chicken. Don't quit the ham hocks or the teriyaki food. Just be healthy. Eat fresh. Not like the other guy. Say it, B-Mac.
I say this. Listen, I understand that people want Eddie to be world champion, but let's just be honest. Joseph had a point earlier when he said the people that's in front of him, it's going to be very hard for them to put him over them as world champion. Very hard, because you got Punk, you got Cole, you got Lance Archer now in the picture, who could potentially dethrone Hangman Page if they were to go that route, and he is very credible to do it. You have Keith Lee finna come in at some point, because let's be honest about that. If they bring in Keith Lee, he is immediately getting overlooked for any type of world championship aspirations that he may have. The closest that I see him winning is the TNT championship picture at best. If not the championship for the tag team, he can definitely win the TNT. But that world championship, I don't see them jumping him over MJF and all those younger guys to do that.
And you're absolutely right. But like I said, quitting cigarettes and turning into a new regimen takes up at least, logistically and realistically, a year. And he has the Orton Bolden thing to worry about now. So he's going to be out 3 months plus 7 months of training and cleaning himself. So like I said, 2022-23, no, we're fine because we have way too many aces in the deck. But 2024-25, situation, partner, chance. That's all you need to make a championship. That's all you need, because we learned from Daniel Bryan. Situation, partner, chance. Key.
My little, Eddie Kingston, when he was going for the tag team belt with Moxley, the groundswell of outpour of, you know, push this dude was so big. That was one of the things that really, you know, pushed me to start this podcast. So is it outside the realm of possibility for Eddie Kingston to win the world title? No, it's not. It's really not. It depends on the booking, timing, and if people want it. And I think with the right story, the right push, people want to see that. But yes, obviously, he can probably become a TNT champion, tag team champion, FTW champion. It's not outside the realm of possibility. Let's see what happens with Eddie Kingston going forward. Go ahead, B-Mac.
Absolutely. And speaking of Mr. John Moxley, listen, I'm going to break some tea right here, right now on the show, y'all. This is the B-Mac Report, all right? Mr. John Moxley, after 3 months of being out of action and off of AEW television, will be making his very much explosive, highly anticipated return live tomorrow night on Dynamite, because he will be on the show to give his thoughts on how he's been, where he is, and where he's going next. And you don't want to miss that. And also, I'm going to break the tea here as well, because me being a tea spiller, I always get the little nuggets. John Moxley will be in action Friday on Rampage, most likely.
All right, there you go.
I'm feeling generous tonight. There is a New Japan rematch planned for Rampage as well. As of now, there is a New Japan rematch planned for Rampage.
Now that I had no idea about, that is why you watch the Midwest Marks podcast and listen to the BMAC Report. All right, that is the news portion of our episode for tonight. Gonna turn it over to Alex Coquito. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Please follow our podcast. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You go to our website, www.themidwestpodcast.com. You could get this shirt right here. It's so awesome, isn't it? Go check it out. And we have all of our episodes, all of our YouTube videos on there as well. Without further ado, let's talk about Dark and Elevation. But Elevation first.
Let's get loose and lively, gentlemen. This is the AEW Dark Elevation with the Coquito Campeón. So let's go. We start off Elevation with Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty versus J.R. Miller and Martin Cross, a.k.a. Goku, but he wasn't Goku today because his hair was down. Key point on this match, Matt Sydal 25-13, Lee Moriarty 4-6, J.R. Miller and Martin Cross debut. Tony was not there that day during Elevation, and they said that he went away to do a timeshare in North Carolina, so he doesn't want to be bothered. So Tony Schiavone, wherever you are, have a good day in Elevation. Now, when Martin Cross this is a key point in the match. Martin Cross hit Lee Moriarty in the nose with a headbutt. And I think it was Paul White who said this. Hit a guy in the bridge in the nose and he will fall like a stone. What movie is that? Roadhouse. Yeah. And everyone looked at Mark Henry who said that and he's like, crickets. Either way, I love Mark Henry for that. Then, for some weird reason, Martin Cross got a power up, did a double stomp elbow on Lee Moriarty, which was beautiful. It was like a nice little slide elbow. I like that. But then he could gain, and then he went straight for Sydal, and I was like, wow, this is pretty badass. Like, you should stay inside the ring. But then he tagged J.R. Miller and went all sideways. In the end, the beautiful transition, it was Lee Moriarty and Martin Cross in the end. Leapfrog arm drag to Pepsi twist. And then Lee did, thank you, Alex Shelley, for getting the permission to do this, the Border City stretch for the win while Sydal was taking care of J.R. Miller in the corner. Great match. Lee Moriarty getting the transitions into the Border City stretch is very beautiful. It's not a LaBelle lock, ladies and gentlemen. It's a totally different thing because Alex Shelley will fight you in court for that. Mr. Eli Guidi, your thoughts on the match?
I thought the match was really, really good. Good to see the partnership between Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty keep going. Cross was really, really kind of like, come on, Sydal, fight me. I like that energy. I like the kind of video game Dragon Ball Z kind of energy he always brings. They had a really good kickoff, but Sydal obviously won that. And yeah, that Border City stretch, it was good to see. I remember the Border City machine guns with Alex Shelley used to put that in. Awesome to see. Great match. Back to you.
B-Mac.
I say this. It's nice to see Matt Sydal being the veteran that he is at only 37 years old, by the way, which is still young as far as career prime-wise, taking, 27-year-old Mr. Lee Moriarty under his wing and just being that mentor that he really needs to take him to the next level because he's really going to do, a lot for him as a, it's like a mentor slash coach type of role. And to see him get his first win like this, a major win in a tag team match next to Sydal using the Crippler Crossface, it gave me Benoit vibes that I hadn't seen that move used in a while. Now listen, no shade to Mr. Bryan Danielson, but I like the way Lee Moriarty did his technique last night. It took me back to that era where the Rabbit Wolverine was just running through people. So please keep that up as your finishing maneuver.
It was a good match. It was a good match. We move on to Amira versus Ty Conti. 52-9, fourth in the ranking. She is the number two female vet in the women's division. Because, wow. Right off the bat, we find out that Amira is a multi-disciplined martial artist. And when Conti slipped out and gave her a nice little arm drag, freaking Amira looked at her and Mark Henry says, why are you so surprised? And she's like, you're in a wrestling match. You're supposed to be freaking anticipating. But in the end, Amira got in the corner running bicycle kicks. Shout out to ROH who said that. No, sorry, PWG. Into the corner. In the end, she was about to do something to Ty Conti, but Ty Conti reversed it into a boss man slam-ish. They said, I wonder if boss man actually gave her the move, but then they realized, oh, wait, he's dead. But let's just play it off. That's what they did. Into the end, to the 1, 2, 3, Conti's waving and smiling while Amira is crying in the corner in the ring like a sad loser. B-Mac, your thoughts on this quick 2-minute match?
Let me say this. When I first saw the graphic for this match, I got shook because I thought that was Naomi I was looking at because she looks exactly like Naomi on that graphic. I was like, wait, when did they let her go? Sorry, Naomi, I love you. But anywho, Tanara was very aggressive during this match. She came out hungry and with intent, and she was on a mission to get the job done in under 2 minutes, and that's exactly what she did. But if I'm Jade Cargill or Britt Baker, I'm looking out for Tanara because she's already said she has championship gold in her sight this year. So they're going to have to be on their A games because she's definitely not that far behind.
Mr. Eli?
I love the Ty KO. It is a perfect move for Ty Conti. and her just like going back and forth with those pump kicks or bicycle kicks, as you called them. I love the energy from Ty Conti. She is going to be a future champion in AEW, no doubt in my mind. Let's go on.
We move on. J.B. Cole versus J.B. Cole and T.I.M., which is a weird thing, but that's actually his name, versus the Gun Club, which I loved in the title card before they even came out the ring. Excalibur said this, some people call them the Ass Boys, but we are legally obligated to call them the Gun Club. So here we go. And then the music started. I'm like, oh, damn. But they came out in Elevation and Dark, but we're going to talk about the Elevation match because nothing happened in Dark. In this one, as always, their daddy comes out with the shirt. Oh, I got the Ass Boys shirt. You know, I'm saying the commentary now before I get to the match. They find out Taz is, they're wondering how did the Ass Boys chance get all the way to Raleigh, North Carolina? Excalibur answers, well, when you sell the shirts in different states, it kind of like just get the chant going. But I get that. But T.I.M., I want to give the shout out to him because he was very, I forgot what his name was, very the Mac, but in a shorter, smaller version, if you guys get what I mean. Nice little thrust kicks back and forth. Colton and Austin were trying to get him away from their partner, J.B. Cole. But honestly, J.B. Cole didn't do anything throughout the whole match. It was mostly focused on T.I.M. I don't like to say that much. That's the last time I'm going to say that. In the end, two things I want to point out. Colton put J.B. Cole up, standing up, gave him a nice little pat in the face, and did the most beautifulest pinpoint dropkick I've ever seen. I call it pinpoint dropkick because when you get all the way up to the jaw and hit him just right, beautiful. Finisher, which was Austin and his screaming self, leg trip into a face buster, into a tag, Colton comes in, double underhook, Colt 45 for the win. Loved it. And storyline wise, Aubrey grabbed Austin's hand, and Austin's like, no. And his dad's like, just let her grab your hand, let her raise it, just get it over with already. I'm like, all right, fine, I don't hate you anymore, let's go. Eli,
these guys put on a really good match, even though albeit short. Yes, the Dark match, we will not cover that one because it was really short. I love how Billy Gunn kind of like waits to come after the Gun Club comes out. He's just like, oh, Billy's not with them today. Yes, I am. That was hilarious. And T.I.M. or Tim, he was really did pretty good in his tag team part of that. A little bit of offense, a jawbreaker, and then T.I.M. did a... did some clotheslines. It was pretty, really good. I love Colton's Colt 40. No, that was Austin. Colt 45. It was Colton. Colton, Colt 45. That move is really, really good. Can't wait to see what these guys go. I want them to turn on Billy. I want this to become like a serious thing. Like them to, or something. They need to do something with it. Keep going.
They will eventually. I did like Colton's Colt 45. Austin's 45. I forgot what it's called. I think it's called the tag team thing is called 310 to Yuma. It's a really weird move that they do that. But B-Mac, your thoughts on this match?
I mean, listen, y'all already know my thoughts on the Ass Boys. I do not care for them, like, not at all, not even a little bit. But I will say this. They do have potential to be a tag team on Dark because I have no interest in seeing them on Dynamite getting wings over the big teams like the Lucha Brothers. Okay. But I will say this, though. Yeah, moving on.
Damn. Okay, let's go. By the way, I wanted to say this. They kind of did a technicality on stats, but I wanted to say this. Gun Club 40-3 for Austin, 41-1 for Colton, but they're 4-0 in tag teams together. But they didn't want to put that. Want to put that out there. Next match. Thank God they said it on commentary because I read this and it was a totally different way of how I was going to say it. LeBron Cazone, 0-2 against Frankie. It's that guy, Kazarian, 34-7. This was a not quick, this was like a 6-minute match, but it just showed that Kazarian was beating the crap out of LeBron. LeBron has a little back and forth, a little offense, nothing to write down or anything else, nothing against LeBron. I love that. But in the end, crossface chicken wing for the win. We're going to move on because we've seen enough Kazarian matches in our lifetimes. Ruby Soho, or aka Rubyer, as one little girl said it on the Ethan Page vlog. By the way, anyone who's listening, Rubyer down in the chats. She doesn't hate it, but she doesn't love it either. Kenzie Page, 0-3. Rubyer, 13-3. Special moves by Kenzie Page. A beautiful rolling elbow from the corner to the middle of the ring. Back elbow to reverse. And super kick. And I mean a nice, beautiful, straight super kick. But in the end, no future for the 1-2-3. Mark Henry said, after Excalibur said the no future finisher. And then Mark Henry said, and there was no future. Oh, you get it, right? Insert laugh. Eli, your thoughts?
This match was really, really good. I love the start of AEW matches. Ruby just was twerking Kenzie Page's arm. Just, it looked like she popped it for a second. That is some really good, you know, grapple work. I love that about AEW. You always start with a lockup. You always start with the grabs and the really transitional moves. Really like that double underhook by Ruby. Great match. Kenzie Page was getting some pretty good offense in as well. But yeah, she got caught by those kicks. And Ruby Soho, I wonder what's next for her. Go ahead.
B-Mac.
Now, this is the match that I was looking for Ruby Soho versus Jade Cargill, because she came out very hungry and aggressive from the start of this match, and she was relentless on young Kenzie Page, and she didn't give Kenzie a chance at all to even get into this match damn near, because she was like, you know what, I may have lost in that TBS championship final, but I'm going to come out tonight and I'm going to gain some type of revenge, and that's exactly what she did. And as far as her finish maneuver, I actually like that finishing move for her, because it's quick and straight to the point, and she can knock you out with it out of nowhere, and so like you never really see it coming. So I definitely, again, she's going to be a strong opponent for Jade Cargill now that she's the TBS champion. So Jade, watch your back.
As always, Rubyer. We move on to Private Party. Shots, no Hardy, shots, good match against Chase Emery and Patrick Scott, aka the Blue Chipper, because it was on his tights in the back, aka old Captain America from the first movie, if you saw his colors, same exact way. I was like, wow, he's just hanging out. 13-2. This was a very showcase match against Patrick Scott and Chase Emery. Patrick Scott was taking the majority of the pain in the match. It's a little sloppy in certain parts when they were trying to do the silly string and showing off rope into the frog splashes. But in the end, I want to give a shout out to Private Party, but I'm not going to be negative today. Freaking gin and juice for the 1-2-3, but the way they did the 1-2-3 was actually very funny. Gin and juice, one finger into the 1-2-3. Shots, no Hardy. B-Mac, your thoughts?
I say this, it was nice to see them back in action again as a tag team, because they are one of the youngest and most promising tag teams in that stacked tag team division. And to see them back, you know, so like in tandem, showing the chemistry that they do have when they are able to show so, listen, like it was wonderful. And this reference, listen, we also got to keep in mind that the Hardy Boys will be back in action as a tag team sometime in the next upcoming months. So I, as much as I don't want him in AEW, I think this is AEW's way of secretly trying to bring him in, because Matt Hardy would not have advertised that today for no reason if they wouldn't have already trying to strike a deal. Now, that was your B-Mac report.
They are touring. The Hardy Brothers are touring together in 2022. I wonder what that will take. But when it comes to Private Party, it was extremely nice to see them without the HFO. It was extremely nice to see them just Private Party, just Zay and Mark Quinn, like you said, in tandem. There's something great about Private Party, especially with that early win in the Young Bucks early days of AEW. I want to see that again. I believed in them then. I want to believe them again. They have all the creativity in the world. I loved how Mark Quinn, he grabbed, I think, one of them in the corner. He was like, kidney punch, kidney punch, kidney punch, kidney punch, kidney punch. I love that. I'm pretty sure you got that from Dragon Ball Z Unbridled because that was hilarious. Great match, and back to you, Alex.
Thank you, sir. And as Mark Henry likes to say, it's time for the main event. I'll have the vibrato as he has it. Alexander Moss, 0-3 versus Jay Lethal, 4-0 from Elizabeth, New Jersey. Now, when he came into the ring, they said, why? Like, Alexander Moss, you look like a deer in headlights. Get your, yeah, I know. Like, stop respecting him and get back, like, actually fight him. In the beginning, freaking Lethal was dominating him back and forth. Moss did a couple back, like, a couple moves here and there, a little back suplex. The part that really got to me, the part that woke me up, and this was the main event, and it wasn't boring, but it was, you know, Alexander Moss versus Jay Lethal. He got him in the corner. Jay Lethal goes up to the top rope, winks at the camera, then does his, you know, does the elbow drop. You're like, all right, it's over. It's done. Done. Nuclear bomb. That's it. One, two. Oh, like, what the? He got up. Moss comes back. Goes on the counter offensive against him. It was really beautiful. But in the end, backslide for a two count. On counter roll for a two count. Gotcha. Lethal injection for the three count. I'll give it to Moss, but you're just not lethal. Eli, your thoughts on the match?
This match really took me by surprise. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was. Yeah, we had Alexander Moss, a deer in the headlights kind of look. We also had Jay Lethal almost fall off the turnbuckle in the beginning of, during his entrance. That was something I was like, oh, well, at least he didn't fall. But yeah, then Alexander Moss started to come into his own. We got to see some skill from him. I really liked that it was kind of a little bit back and forth. That kick out, I did not see that coming. I think we're starting to see that Jay Lethal is going to be put in the position of really working with the brand newer talent and really just, you know, starting to, you know, let them come, like, working. They're getting to work with Jay Lethal, someone who is just wrestling incarnate. That is like a big motivational boost for those who are just, you know, in the rotations. So if this is what Elevation is going to be, with Jay Lethal being the standard bearer, just, at least for a little while, until he's going to have his match with Ricky Starks and whatever else he's got going on in AEW in the future, I'm cool with it for right now, for Elevation. That if that's the role he's playing right now, cool. But yeah, that O'Connor roll into the Lethal injection, chef's kiss. I love that move. It is so great, and I am just stoked that we have Jay Lethal and All Elite Wrestling. Go ahead, B-Mac.
I say this. Listen, I understand that some people, they want to see certain talents as the standard bearer. Listen, Jay Lethal belongs on Dynamite and on Rampage. I don't want to see him be the gatekeeper of anybody's young... Listen, none of that. The man is a 20-year veteran for a reason. He needs to be in proper feuds to showcase what he can really do and why he dominated Ring of Honor for as long as he did as champion over there on multiple occasions in tag team and singles. Because at the end of the day, he is the type of standard that they need to be looking up to as far as ring work, because he can work with almost anybody. And this match was a prime example of that. And he got the win with the Lethal ejection, which if I'm Miss Penelope Ford, I'm looking towards Jay Lethal for some counters and some technique tips, because that's the same finisher that you do, but not as clean. So if I'm you, I'm watching the way that he hits it with perfection every time, and I'm learning from that and taking it into her own matches. But yeah, either way, I'm here for him versus Ricky Starks, because there's going to be money if it's anything like we've seen this past Wednesday night on Dynamite, where basically him saying, listen, I don't give a damn about a Rampage. I don't give a fuck about as far as like Ring of Honor.
All right, that was our AEW Dark Elevation review. Thank you, Alex, for heading that up for us. Please, guys, if you liked our content so far, subscribe. Go ahead and follow the Midwest Marks Podcast. Go check out our website at www.themidwestmarkspodcast.com. We got some pretty great things coming up in 2022. You're not going to want to miss this. Please stay tuned with more episodes. But we're going to go ahead and get into our AEW Dark review. All right. Now, I was wondering, when are they going to put this match between Adam Cole and Khan on? Is it going to be the main event? No, AEW spoils the crap out of its fans. We got this as the first match for AEW Dark, and it was not disappointing at all. By the way, I think the tea spiller, I woke up this morning, I saw some news, I was like, oh, ain't that nice? That's right, everybody. We are going to be interviewing Khan. He will be sitting down with the Midwest Marks podcast. We can't wait. It will be myself, B-Mac, and Alex talking with him about his journey in Ring of Honor and so much more. You can expect that possibly at the end of this week. We'll see. Or sooner. But go ahead, B-Mac, your thoughts on us getting to interview Khan.
Well, first of all, listen, anytime you can talk to like a talent who is as great as Khan is in the ring and out of the ring, it's always going to be like a pleasure and honor to sit down with him, because he has like a variety of knowledge that like a lot of these young and up and coming wrestlers can learn from, because again, he's, you know, it's like he's young himself. So like to see him wrestling like a veteran at such a like a pivotal part of his career, that's very much worth talking to and getting to know about as far as up and coming talent should be. And yeah, like I can't wait for that interview. I'm excited. And to see him kick it off with Adam Cole tonight as the opener, it was chef's kiss, because I got my money's worth and I was not disappointed. And as I said on Twitter, Tony Khan and AEW management clearly likes him a lot. If they put in you with Adam Cole, who's 8-0 and hasn't even lost to AEW, that shows you right there how they see you. And so don't be shocked when we get that All Elite graphic for Khan. Now, I'm not predicting anything and I'm not spilling anything, but if tonight's indication, as far as that match is concerned, he's going to be signed to AEW very soon, because you are already high up with the management, and that's a good look for you. This being your second match in AEW.
You said it all there, B-Mac. You said it all. I'm so excited to see that. Let's go ahead and see how this match between Adam Cole and Khan went down. It started with a lockup. Cole was definitely outgunned. Khan's physique got... Ooh, y'all. This dude looks like he's serious business. I remember from the match with Andrade, he just overpowered Andrade. But Cole, I think he scouted him a little bit, switched it up, and got him in the corner. Kind of started to psych him out with the Adam Cole, baby, chant thing. Got a tight headlock on Cole as well. He tried to shoulder tackle Khan. No effect at all. Waistlock drop by Khan. And then he kicked Adam Cole in the head. The disrespect by this man. Adam Cole was not really happy about that. Got a pump kick when he tried to go for the apron. Neck breaker by Cole as well. Khan was able to avoid the Panama Sunrise and got in a single leg crab. And then Cole hit a super kick for a two count. Back body drop by Khan. Kicks to the front and back by Adam Cole. Then the boom, the exposed knee for the win. Khan on the outside. This dude can fly as well. Pescado to the outside on Adam Cole. This guy is great. I would love to see him back. And like B-Mac says, I remember hearing rumbles of Shane Taylor Promotions. I'm like, okay, they're doing their thing. All right, cool. Now that I'm seeing more and more of this guy, yeah, I want to see more. I want to see this guy come back. We did get a post-match with Adam Cole talking with Giovanni. And when I mean post-interview, he just was looking dead ass and Giovanni, like he wanted to punch him very square in the face. Told Giovanni to get the hell out of his ring. Adam Cole did the Dr. Britt Baker DMD, showing love to his boo-thang. But he says that the best friends, Chris Statlander and Orange Cassidy, don't stand a chance. They said together, him and Britt Baker are going to take over AEW. I'm getting those McMahon-Helmsley vibes. Getting them vibes, but let's hear from the commentary and the stats from Alex Coquito.
Oh, man, this was actually a good match. I did not expect it to be a good match before we got the good news. I was looking at him like a normal wrestler, as I always do, unobjectively. This guy had a good power. I did like in the entrance this time. He was very casual. Cole was very casual in the entrance. By the way, Cole 9-0, first in the rankings. Khan 0-3. Hopefully he'll go up in time. Back elbow that he did the Cole was beautiful. Vicious in. Spot on. Taz was detecting, which is supposed to mean directing, but he messed it up, and then he blamed Excalibur for it. He said that Dr. Britt Baker is a very tough lady to please. You know, she's my dentist, but, you know, she's psycho. Excalibur says, here, let me just take the shovel from your hand because you're just digging your own grave. And he kept going later on. Pescado to the outside from Khan to Cole. Beautiful Pescado. For a big guy, he actually like got a good height. Single leg crab that he did, beautiful. And back body suplex that he did, beautiful. Come back, Khan. Fight someone else. And now I'm thinking, who can you fight to get your showcase? And I'm a lot of people, like a lot of heels. But I don't know.
Yes, and speaking of Mr. Adam Cole and Britt Baker, Miss Taya Valkyrie, the Werewolf Loca herself, said in a recent interview this past week that she and her husband John Morrison absolutely wants to battle Britt Baker and Adam Cole in a mixed tag team showdown in AEW. She wants in AEW. Not only that, she also mentioned that she wants to be a part of this Owen Hart Cup tournament for the women's division as well in AEW. So read of that what y'all will. But don't be surprised when that All Elite Taya Valkyrie graphic drops soon.
That's why he's a T-spiller. You never know when you're going to get those T-spells. But as far as your question, Alex, Tiger Ruas or Huas, I think that would be a great match. Tiger Ruas versus Khan, I'm all for that. That could be a great match. But all right, let's continue on. We had, the Gun Club had their match. They won again. Yeah, so good for them. Catalina Perez versus Layla Hirsch. Layla was just... She overpowered Catalina, just pretty much just sent her rolling into the ropes at the beginning of the match. She wasn't playing in the game. She's tired of taking them losses, so she's going to win this match. We got a really good leg hold from Layla Hirsch and was just transitioning into the waist and was just wrestling her, just keeping, maintaining control of the match. Gut wrench by Layla. Perez was able to get a jawbreaker, then a backstabber combo. Perez started targeting the shoulder of Layla, was taped up a little bit. Double knees by Layla, and then that last drop kick in the corner. Perez tried for the Cazadora, but got caught up by Layla. Running knee to end this match. Layla Hirsch getting a win, and you got to believe that it's going to only add fuel to the flame of this, I think, triple threat between Red Velvet and Chris Statlander later down the line, but we'll see what happens. Look at the comments, the stats from Alex Okito.
This match only lasted... Well, about 3 minutes 40 seconds. Cazadora reversed into a German suplex that turned into a running knee. Even though I think it was a running boot, but they kept saying running knee, but we're not going to comment on that. Layla 21-9, Catalina Perez debut. I don't know why I said debut, even though she fought here before. Either way, okay, sure. This was a good match. The commentary is based on showcasing, and they bring up the fact that ever since the Christmas episode between Statlander and Layla, the division has started between Layla and everybody else. Layla's all angry and vicious. Taz did like that. Not recruiting style, but like, I like the way she's doing it. Be more aggressive. That's the only thing they said about Layla. Other than that, the showcasing, the fighting, the smiles, the cocky smiles that Layla does now when she's beating the crap out of your opponent. And Catalina Perez... No disrespect, but ugliest gear I've ever seen in my life. Ugliest. Like the colors was like NXT, but those are the colors that NXT 2.0 didn't want. So he's like, okay, you can have those colors. No disrespect to her. To her as a person, great person. Gear wise, come on.
I felt the sting off of that. Go ahead, B-Mac.
And y'all say, I'll be throwing bullets at people listen, like uninvited. So with this being said, Layla Hirsch came out aggressive. She came out again. She was on a mission to prove, listen, I'm tired of being overlooked. I'm tired of being disrespected. I'm tired of not being listened to. This whole character development change that she's been going through like these last few months has been something wonderful to see. And at the end of the day, again, she came out like a pit bull and she like latched on to Catalina and she never let go. And listen, she showed that her bite is as big as her bark. She can back it up, whether it's, you know what I'm saying, on the mic or whether it's in ring, she can do both. And I think that the more time she gets to develop her promos, she's going to be even more of the total package because she's already a killer in ring. And Chris, that Atlanta girl, don't overlook her just because she's 4'11". She will suplex the hell out of your ass. Ask Miss Camille, who's damn near 6 feet from NWA, how that went.
Oh yeah, Layla Hirsch. I'm rooting for her. I'm AEW original. I'm all for Layla Hirsch getting her just due. The next thing that we got was a murder bird. Lance Archer, Murder Hawk, came down and just attacked Liam Cross. This wasn't even a match. The bell didn't ring, but Cross was just getting thrown around. Lance Archer gave him one shot and got turned inside out by Lariat. Blackout for the win. Actually, no. He did overkill. He did pin this man after a blackout. He grabbed this man's head with the EPD claw and just bashed it and then pinned him. Then he went after the ref, but then the ref got away. So, good to see Lance Archer doing his thing again, going for the AEW World title. So, we're going to see Lance Archer versus Hangman Adam Page in the future. Good matchup. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We had Liam Gray and Adrian Atlantis versus the Varsity Blondes with Patchy Julia Hart. Liam and Pillman started. Pillman was kind of getting distracted by Julia. Julia was kind of acting weird, kind of like really happy, but it was not, you know, cheerleader happy. It was more like, I want to see pain and violence happy. Good luck. But Sister Splash by the Varsity Blondes and a drop kick. Liam was able to avoid some of the offense of the Varsity Blondes, but didn't really matter. Great tandem offense by the Blondes to get the win. In the post-match, Griff said that he's tired of the light shows of the, you know, lights flickering off with Malakai Black and the House of Black, and that Pillman says that they are okay with violence. And then Julia was clapping very scarily. So I think it's safe to say that Julia's gonna turn on these guys, right? What do you think, B-Mac?
Honestly, Julia, listen, like, she looked very pissed off tonight. She didn't look happy with them at all. She seems very annoyed. She seemed very aggravated for whatever reason. And she was just not here for them at all because she did not even get in the ring with them. She normally gets in the ring with them and does a little split. But since she got her little eye patch and, you know, she got spin in her eye and, you know, her character's been changing over the weeks, like slowly but surely, she's been coming like more standoffish to them more so, which is kind of strange because last week on Dynamite, when, you know, they got, you know, something like called themselves or jumping on the House of Black leader, she was like, No, you know, it's like, it's not enough. Give him more. But tonight, you so what, now withdrawn? Come on, sis, pick a side. I know tomorrow night you may make your big heel turn and move over to the House of Black as the lone female. But right now, she seems to be stagnant and she needs to pick a side because soon she ain't gonna have a choice.
Very true, very true. Next match that we had was Red Velvet versus Viperess. Good to see her back. Great grapple exchange in the beginning. Viper was mocking the stir it up kind of thing. That was pretty cool. But Red Velvet got her back with a lot of nasty kicks. Held her with her foot corner like Velvet always does. Stalled Mitsunoku driver by Viperess. A little bit of a slugfest, but Velvet was able to get a nice kick in. And then Red Velvet hit the final slice for the win. Looks like everyone on the so-called triple threat matches getting wins now, so that's great to see. Alex, I think you saw something weird during this match. So go ahead.
Red Velvet 41-25th in the rankings. Viperess 0-6. Remix Jones by Taz. Yes, I did see something in the crowd. in the main hard camera, literally when Velvet did this, the final slice, there's a guy or a person with a freaking box over his head and a smile and face, no eye holes, little small eye holes. And it took me away for the whole match. I'm like, who the hell is the guy in the freaking box for a head? Like, you guys letting this happen? But then, as Eli's gonna say right now, there's a reason behind everything, even the box head.
I was at the AEW All Out press conference when I was just standing on the side. Somebody walks up next to me wearing a box head. He just stands next to me, and I'm just like, okay, this is happening. All right. And I asked him a question. I said, so what matches are you excited for All Out? He said, none of them, because Kip Sabian isn't on them, and walked away. That man in that box helmet or whatever, that's Kip Sabian. He's been doing that since All Out. That's crazy. And I like that he's popping up in and out of these things. Will we see Kip Sabian in the ring again? I don't know. We'll definitely see. Let's go ahead and get to this next match, though. We had Robin Renegade. She's no longer where she was. She's in fighting out of Hotlanta now, Atlanta, Georgia, facing Sky Blue. Robin was really fired up at the beginning of this match. She did what I love. She got that wrist control. But yeah, it really didn't do much. Sky was able to avoid most of the offense. She was on the middle rope, and then her sister, Charlotte Renegade, not Sky Blue, off the turnbuckle. Robin almost got the pin. It was only a two count. Fish hook by Robin. The ref kind of had to stop her because you can't just put your hand in someone's mouth. Not without a glove, because Britt Baker does it all the time. So I don't get that, but whatever. Close pinfall attempt by Sky. Rolled through, then a hip toss, then did a cartwheel, then kicked Robin by Sky, and then kicked Charlotte off the apron. Flatliner by Sky. She is racking up the wins. Sky Blue will be facing Serena Deeb on AEW Dynamite. Your thoughts, B-Mac?
Listen, I gotta be honest. Normally, I'm a big proponent of the AEW Women's Division, but I wasn't impressed with this match at all. Like, this to me felt like a sleeper match on the card tonight, because for her to be facing the biggest opponent that she's faced outside of Jade Cargill thus far tomorrow night in Serena Deeb, who is, if we be honest, the best technical pro wrestler in the female division. For her to be facing her tomorrow night, she didn't show the aggression that I was looking for her to have been showing. And going up against somebody who is as ruthless and as savage as Serena has been lately, she's going to need to be able to show some type of oomph to show Serena that, listen, I can match your intensity just as much as you can. And she didn't show that. Like, to me, she came off like a little like passive in this match, and that's not going to work against a 16 or 17 year veteran in Serena tomorrow if she's planning on pulling the biggest upset like of her young career. But yeah, it was what it was. But yeah, like, I wasn't impressed by this match.
Yeah, Sky Blue is still young, you know. It's gonna be a while before we see her get that push, but she did need this win, because we all know what's gonna happen on Wednesday. And I'm hoping that with Serena Deeb, you know, we got babyface Sky Blue going up against like super heel right now, Serena Deeb, that Kairi Sane is probably going to get involved somehow. I kind of want Serena Deeb to be like the boogie woman of the women's division. Just like, hey, nah, you ain't getting past me. Like, and when I beat you, I'm going to beat you down and make you remember this beating. I'm hoping that that's the person that Serena Deeb is going to be, and the Sky Blue. She's gonna have to get those growing pains eventually, so she's gonna go to school on Wednesday. Your thoughts, Alex Coquito?
Sky Blue 2-1, Robin 0-2, even though I think she lost way more than that. Commentary: Taz is saying, oh, Sky Blue is a great wrestler, but she stuck her nose in the thing that she's not supposed to be sticking her nose into, and that's why she has to fight Deeb on Wednesday. That's great. And they did the ripping the mouth thing. They talked about that. And then they were saying, you suck. And then Robin's like, no, you suck. And the crowd's like, no, you suck. No, you suck. No, you suck. So she was actually going back and forth. this is the part that I actually am going to agree with B-Mac. They could have done this weird storyline, this weird one-off where Sky had a match but felt like she wasn't ready yet. Velvet had a match and then she felt like she wasn't ready yet, and then they can fight each other and then you can beat Velvet. Because honestly, it's not credible for me to believe that Sky Blue, who has a 2-on-1 record, gonna fight and win against Deeb. Deeb, who has trained horsewomen. Deeb, who has broken knees and smiled about it, against Robin Renegade. If you want a credibility, you should have sacrificed one of your top women, not your top women, but mid-card women, like a Ford or a Bunny, and lose so she looks credible. We know she'll lose, but make it look realistic. But other than that, great match, love her style, Kiki.
Well, like I said, if this is gonna lead to some more story progression with Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida, maybe that will spiral out into more matches on Dynamite or Rampage, we will see. But let's go ahead and go on to another women's match. We had Tiffany Nieves versus Anna Jay with -1. Very fast match. Queen Slayer for the win for Anna Jay. So, yeah. Next match we had was Anthony Green versus Daniel Garcia with... Oh, go ahead, Alex.
Anna Jay, 23-10. Tiffany Nieves, 0-2. I just want to say this commentary for anyone that loves -1. Yesterday, in real time right now, was -1's birthday. He's 10 years old. Excalibur goes up to and says, yesterday was -1's birthday, and I asked him in the halls, what does he want for his birthday? And -1 says, I want $100 from you, Excalibur, right now. And he didn't say please. Taz says, well, I saw him that same day in the hallway, and I asked him what he wanted for his birthday. And he told me, I want Excalibur gone! Damn. This guy's going vicious. So happy birthday, -1. Excalibur, please stay. Moving on.
Happy birthday, -1. Next match, Anthony Green versus Daniel Garcia with 2.0. Anthony Green said hi to his mom during his entrance. Ain't that sweet? A lockup, and they were kind of pushing each other in the corner. Literally, they were literally pushing each other. Green got a shoulder block and then deep arm drags on Daniel Garcia. He gets really good at arm drags, by the way. And was controlling his arm with an arm bar. Chops in the corner by Green. On the middle rope, Garcia pushed him to the outside, where then he distracted the ref and 2.0 beat the hell out of him. Mm-hmm. The ref kind of, after he saw that Green was got beat up on the outside, he knew, like, he missed him getting beat up, and he was like, oh, well, I didn't see it, so it didn't happen. Nice job, ref. Jerk. Garcia started working Green's back and then started mocking the fans. You know how the fans, like, they admire the ring work. They start clapping, and he was like, oh, I love Daniel Garcia. He's hilarious. Garcia almost got rolled up, but he was able to get out of it. Green was trying to get to the ropes because Garcia hit a Boston Crab. He got to him, but 2.0 was visibly pulling the ropes away from him, and the ref didn't see it somehow. So there was that. But yeah, this match was pretty good. This was one of the other matches that was a banger on Dark. It ended with Garcia almost rolling up Green, but he was able to get out. But then he locked in the abdominal stretch, and then he arched it back and then fell, and then Green tapped out. Post-match, we got 2.0 saying that Chris Jericho's getting in their business and that they're going to get revenge for their son. Garcia says that no matter what, he's going for that TNT title this year and that he's gunning for the Inner Circle. Your thoughts on this match, B-Mac?
Honestly, yes. Daniel Garcia, for him to be only 23 years old, he is definitely one of my favorites out of the young next core in the AEW men's division, because he's so aggressive and he's so stoic as far as his face at all times. Like, he gives you that resting face at all times. Like, listen, I will f*** you up. And don't care who you are, And who you have with you, they can get it too. That type of attitude. And he gives me old 80s heel from the NWA era so much. And you need heels like that in wrestling today. He's a heel like MJF, but he's more so of a rogue heel. Whereas MJF, like, he's more so in your face. He don't care about hurting your feelings. He's the same way, but he's about breaking bones, all right? And I love it for him. But yeah, this match was like the exact representation of what he's going to be in 2 to 3 years when they're ready to really put the strap on him, because he's going to have a very long career in AEW as a top money heel act once he's ready to be in that position consistently. So keep it up.
As far as Anthony Green, I want him to be the third Young Buck. But no, he is really talented as well. Can't wait to see what he does next. Let's hear the stats and commentary from Alex Coquito.
Daniel Garcia, 14-13. Green, 1-5. I forgot that one person he won against, but we'll get to that later in life. It was a great match. A lot of technicality. Garcia being vicious and ugly face as ever, as Kingston says numerous times. In the end, the abdominal stretch, I did like that they commented on commentary. They were saying that abdominal stretch, he was just vicious, and he modified it to a point to become a Crippler Crossface, but not exactly a Crippler Crossface. I like that itself. 2.0 being 2.0, and the ref was really stupid. He should have threw an audible. Like, oh shit, like, you know what, whatever. Like, throw one of them out or something, and just kept going with it. You need one person, that's all you need. But what comes next? The gear itself makes me laugh. Go on, Eli.
Yeah. These next two guys, Jameson Ryan and Brandon Bullock, took on Bear Country, and they look like they stole the Young Bucks gear, kind of, sort of. But they look like they were also wearing pajamas at the same time, pink pajamas. It was really weird.
It's Zubaz jeans. It's Zubaz jeans, Zubaz. Confirmed by Taz himself that he lived in them back in the day.
Zubaz. Well, they tried to pump each other up as they decided to charge two bears, then got slammed. Bear Country just went to town on these guys. Bullocks tried to hit a shot on Bear Boulder. No effect. He pretty much just lifted him up and then slammed him into his tag team partner. Running cannonball with Bear Boulder carrying Bronson, just literally charging at these guys in the corner, destroying them. And then we got the Bear Mountain Bomb. I know that's not the name, but I don't care. That's what it should be called. But these guys make a squash match look amazing and exciting to watch. I love Bear Country. I love Bear Country. These guys are great. I can't wait to see them when they do finally make it to, like, getting to win on Dynamite or Rampage. I want to see these guys succeed. They are a hot tag team. Love them so much. All right. I got a problem with Elevation. I got a problem. I know what AEW has the thing of, they put the best match first to draw people's eyes in. You still got to put something great for the main event. And no lie, this match was really good. It was Peter Avalon and JD Drake. By the way, Peter Avalon looks like he is wearing the hair from the Brady Bunch. So that was pretty nice. Versus Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta. Of course, we get to highlight Wheeler Yuta. He did pretty great in this match as well. This match was really good. We saw a springboard arm drag by Yuta. JD Drake is a really good, just like, ugly beat em up heel. I love that from JD Drake. He just got that stoic, old timey wrestler feel to him. Orange Cassidy is Orange Cassidy. Fantastic wrestler. Hilarious as always. But, I just didn't see this as I liked it for the main event. They put on a great match. Orange Punch for the win. I would like to see more serious matches for Dark. They were on a roll for quite some time. You got to send your people home happy. Why couldn't this have been Adam Cole versus Khan in the main event? That would have been amazing. But they started the show with it as well. So, tit for tat. Let's hit the stats and commentary from Alex Coquito.
Here we go. Orange Cassidy and Yuta. Orange Cassidy 57-18-2. Yuta 17-13. Avalon and Drake tag team debut, which is a lie because they've been tag teams before. But I understand why they did that. They didn't want to show the stats on them. It's atrocious. So I understand that. You want to fake it. And technically, it's the new year. So sometimes AEW likes to accept the rankings and sometimes they don't. That's one gripe against AEW. Get your grab and we're in January of 2022. So come on. Anyway, we also, Taz says that he gave the advice to Peter Avalon to cut his hair because he looks like the Bee Gees. Staying alive. Better reference. We also get the story of the continuation of Yuta and Trent. Excalibur actually says it. Trent feels like he's getting excluded by Yuta, so that means it's continuing. I thought they just dropped it and kept going, but that means they're gonna continue it. That's good. We also find out that Nemeth was giving a amateur point system with Drake and OC, and then Taz is like, "Well, hey, someone bring me a pen and paper. Like, are we gonna have to write down point systems now? Like, are we doing this now?" He's like, no. That's just in Nemeth's head. Like, he points everybody. So don't even worry about that. But in the end, and by the way, I loved Avalon's hair. It was beautiful. Shout out to the Hair Club for hairs. Now, in the end, Orange Punch, I hope someone named Avalon keeps his job because I like him as a character. But if it's necessary for him to go, as they say in wrestling, na 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 na, na 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 na, hey hey hey, adios, ki.
Peter Avalon, very entertaining individual. If this is the last we see him in AEW, which it might not be, we'll see down the line. Let's hear from T Spiller.
I don't think this is the last time we see him. I think, if anything, he's going to get bumped down to like a paper appearance type of a situation with AEW, where we pay you when you show up and that's it. But you're not going to be on a 3-year contract if we don't have nothing for you. And that's all right, because again, he would thrive on the indies. He can go to acting, or he can do something as far as television is concerned, because he does have the personality and the character to do well in films and comedy roles. Hello. But yeah, like, and as far as this match, I wasn't thrilled about this being the main event, but I get it, because you needed Orange Cassidy to be in that type of role. And so yeah, you had him and Willa Uter next to each other, who they play well off each other, by the way. But I'm waiting for the real feud out of this storyline, which is Trent Beretta, who's going to get jealous of having to share the spotlight with the young lion from New Japan named Uter. And I'm here for this storyline and feud, because that's going to be money when those two get together in ring one-on-one with all the clownery involved.
Oh yeah, I am a big proponent of Trent Beretta, and I like Wheeler Yuta as well. That is a straight up wrestling classic that could be made between those whenever they book that match. So that was our AEW Dark review. I would say that I would give Dark still the one up over Elevation. Elevation definitely needs some more, you know, meat matches, some really good, better matches. Dark, they've been had big match, then promo. Big match, then promo. I love that. I love that, what they're doing with that, especially with Adam Cole versus Khan and Green versus Daniel Garcia. Yeah, really good shows. And everybody, we've got more stuff coming later in the week. We've got our AEW Dynamite review Wednesday, and then we've got our live stream Friday, and then our Audio Rampage review later on the night. Guys, again, we are interviewing Khan. Cannot wait for that. It's going to be a great time. Everybody, thank you for listening to the Midwest Marks podcast. We're going to continue to bring that great wrestling content. Alex Coquito, where can the people find
you? Well, hello there, que laque. My name is Alex Coquito, C-O-Q-U-I-T-O. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Write down my name. Snapchat, don't even try, because I don't give a crap about that. But what I do give a crap is that we have a Twitch channel. We have our own channel on the MidwestMarksPodcast.com, www. And as our lovely and sexy, second sexy, because B-Max the first sexy, second sexy host has said, we have merch that he is wearing right now, which he will stand up and show, not dance, just show, and show that if you love us, we love you too platonically. But if you buy merch from us, we love you more platonically. Kiki.
Thank you, Alice. And the tea spiller, where can people find you to keep up with that wrestling tea?
Yes, it's I, the tea spiller, the only one on the podcast who gives you those hot exclusives whenever I feel like it, because I do be feeling generous sometimes, you know, because I like y'all just a little bit sometimes, all right? But no, for real, see, I love y'all genuinely, and I do this because of y'all, and y'all keep me going. And again, y'all can find me on Twitter. It's Milano_Mott with 4 B's. But again, you can find me even more on the like podcast every other week with these, you know what I'm saying, like these two wonderful gentlemen here who keeps me afloat and who really has my back. And stay tuned, because next month I'm going to have some hot exclusives for y'all on some signings that's getting ready to pop off at AEW on the female side as well as the male side in March that you're definitely going to want to tune into. And I got the confirmation this morning, and as soon as I get it from my source to give them the confirmation, they're going to have it too on the podcast. But until then, keep tuning in to us. And again, we're going to keep doing this for you because y'all keep us going.
Damn right, B-Mac. Damn right. Everybody, thank you so much. We're going to get ready to get out of here. Again, if you haven't already, subscribe. Follow the Midwest Marks Podcast. That's right. We have a Twitch channel, a YouTube channel. And, oh, the Twitch channel, I started a AEW Universe mode. We're fixing booking. I've already fixed the booking. And a Discord. We're working on that. We'll get that up and running very soon. Guys, check it out. We're doing big things. That's right. It's all because we love wrestling. We love the wrestling fans when they get excited, because we are the same. We are wrestling fans. All right, everybody. It's time. We get out of here one way and one way only, and that is counting 1, 2, 3, and we say
Mark out. Mark out.